Okie dokie, we're going to start with Philemon chapter 1, verse 10 to 12. Just occurred to me, some of you may have no clue of who I am. You've never actually heard me before, met me before. Give me a wave if that would be you. Anybody? Is it lovely to meet you? Did you raise your hand then, Deanna? Don't mind me. Well, I just pour myself a drink. Okay. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. Everybody say Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. So let me give you a little bit of background to this verse. Firstly, this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a leader in the Colossian church called Philemon. If you don't know where Philemon is, you find Revelations, the last book of the Bible. Just move in a few books and you'll come across it. And this is how the story goes. Onesimus was actually the slave of Philemon. Now, we're not going to go down the rabbit trail of slavery in the New Testament, but it was still a thing. And under the law at the time, the owner, Philemon, actually owned Onesimus, like he was property. And Onesimus had taken off. He'd done a runner. Onesimus had left Philemon, and what's more, he'd stolen Philemon. So he'd broken the law on a couple of levels. He had taken off from his master, and he'd stolen from him. And while he was on the run, he makes a connection with the Apostle Paul, probably in prison somewhere, because he was in prison at the time. And this epistle is an appeal from the Apostle Paul to Philemon. And this, the whole point of the letter is this, is Onesimus has changed, and I want you to forgive him and take him back. That is the whole point of the book of Philemon. And Paul makes this bold, a big, bold declaration in verse 11. He says, formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. Formerly he was useless, but now he is useful. We're going to zero in on this phrase. Useless then, useful now. Useless then, useful now. What this speaks to is a requirement for Philemon to change his mind, for him to shift his thinking from one extreme to the other. Can you imagine what he would have been thinking about Onesimus? He's probably thinking a lot more than you're useless. He'd robbed from him, he'd done a runner. And now Paul is saying, Philemon, I want you to think again. I want you to think. I believe that's the word of the Lord to us today. Think again. Think again. And so Philemon was well within his rights to think that Onesimus was useless. You useless slave. You good for nothing. But Paul is saying, now I'm requiring of you to make such a shift as far as east from west. I'm in a total 180 degree change of perspective, that what was useless then could be useful now. I believe God wants to speak to the Onesimuses in our life. What is it that you have written off, you've considered, that's useless? I wonder how many people actually consider this community of Langford useless. What's it good for? I actually went to great lengths to explain to someone this week about where Langford was. And I find that Carousel is a good kind of, like, you know, most people know where Westfield Carousel is, you know, but is it Linwood? You go, no. And so this, I believe in this season, I believe this year, 2025 is going to be a year of thinking again. And that was the call, the requirement for Philemon. to see through different eyes. Useless then, but useful now. Useless then, useful. I believe there are people here today, individuals, and the Lord is declaring over you, you may have considered yourself as useless. And he is, I believe there is a calling, a pull of the Holy Spirit. I'm sensing this. Sometimes I'm a big feeler. I feel the voice of God, right? Different ways of receiving revelation from the Lord, right? Some of us are hearers. You know, we get thoughts, God thoughts. How do I distinguish from my thoughts? Well, probably too smart for me. That's usually the bottom line. Okay, if you get a thought and you think, oh, where did that come from? Good chance it's God. Like if it has hallmarks of intelligence and of some, right? Some of us give ourselves far too much credit. Oh, what if it's me? What if it's God? Is it you? Is it me? I'm thinking you hadn't come up with that for the last flippant 10 years. And now you've been praying and you get something and you think, oh, is that me? You haven't come up with an answer, a solution for, hey? There you go. Just a thought. Some of you are seers, okay? God speaks to you through pictures. You just get a picture. For me, if I get a picture, it's usually kind of black and white in a nanosecond. It's just simple, one dimension. Some of you get 3D, Technicolor, sense around sound. You know, it's like you've gone to see Avatar. It's like you've got a whole nother world going on in there. But one of the ways that God can speak is actually through a feeling. And we've kind of demonized feelings in the church. You know, God, and in fact, we would say, oh, I'm led by faith, not by what I feel. Well, what if what you feel is actually what the Lord is feeling? Oh, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else, who could know it? Well, hang on, if Jesus is in your heart, we've got a different piece of kind of like territory here. You know, your heart is a different landscape before Jesus moved in. Right? So a lot of people are mistrusting of their hearts when sometimes the very voice of God is speaking through your desire. So today I'm endeavoring to communicate something I'm feeling. And I'm feeling this, all I can explain is like this drawing, this like the Lord urging and saying, some of you, you've been thinking one way about a certain thing, and God's just not just requiring a little shift, he's requiring a totally, like a big total shift in how you see it, how you see that person, how you see your past, how you see opportunity, how you see the world. And what was useless then is not necessarily useless now. In fact, there's another version. Let's see if I've written it down. The New King James says, he was unprofitable, but now he is profitable. He was unprofitable. You know, I said, Vicky, I'm not going to do that again. It was unprofitable. Or maybe it was unprofitable then, but it's profitable now. Have you judged something? I take authority over all judgments that have been made in Jesus' name. Because we can make judgments. We can make them subconsciously. Like not even aware, not even conscious that there's judgments. Like, oh, no, I'm not doing that. That's not me. I'll give you an example. It says, Pastor Lisa brought up about my clarity session. So you know, I wasn't in London. I wasn't in New Zealand. I was in my office at home on Zoom. That's where I was, but consulting with people in those countries. But I used to say about me, at my ministry, that, now please take this the right way. It's not going to sound good, but this is what I used to say. You know, Jesus says that he would leave the 99 for the one. Well, I would say I would leave the one for the 99, because the bigger the platform, the bigger the event, the bigger the congregation, I felt it brought out the best in me, that I was, you know, a, if you like, big occasion speaker. And that opinion had been built over time based on reality, that the biggest impact that I seem to have is when churches got together. Women got together. You know, it was a regional thing. But the whole COVID go down in 2020 when I couldn't travel anymore, when there weren't those gatherings, when there weren't those events, I had to pivot and do some reinvention. So long story short is that now I'm doing one-on-ones, and I would say it's really fruitful. It's really profitable. I'm loving it. So whilst I'm not saying I'm the one still who leaves the 99 for the one, I think it's more of an and than an either or. But it, for me, I'm using it as a personal example as to the degree to which I have changed my perspective about myself. I wonder how many of you are here today and you have actually said, well, no, that's not me. I won't do that again. It didn't work last time. Actually, Michael and Christine, I'm hearing the Lord saying there was something. It didn't work last time. But what was unprofitable then, I hear the Lord saying is profitable now. It's profitable now. And I see you actually have made that shift, but occasionally that voice of what it was is trying to distract, especially if something comes to trigger you and remind you of that. And so Lord's saying, continue to lean in and continue in the direction in which you are going. I feel God just wants to encourage you that you are on track. I just had a picture literally of railway tracks. You are on track, heading in the right direction. And so what was unprofitable then is profitable now. You might have had a bad experience. There are people who aren't in church today because they've had a bad experience. And they say church is useless. Actually, some of them say a lot worse than that. Right? It was useless. It's I'm not going back. I'm not doing that anymore. And as we make that change, as we come around and think again, I feel the Lord wants to release at the very least willingness in your hearts. Are you willing? It's not that you're wrong. It's not that that wasn't true. But what's true then does not mean it's true now. And so the Lord wants us to get unstuck from perspectives that aren't helping us anymore. Cale, I see there's, and you're a young rooster, but I already see that there is a perspective related to yourself and your capacity and what you can do and can't do. That's already, it's like I'm seeing like a trench. It's already been dug to a degree, and it's actually not true. It's not who you are, and it's not a true reflection. It's not in any way a reflection of what God thinks or sees. And whoever's dug that trench, I see someone's been responsible for digging the trench, but I see the Lord Jesus coming and filling the trench. And I hear the Lord saying, think again about yourself. Think again, right? Because there's so much more. The ceiling is off. The lid is off in Jesus' name. So I'm just focusing on this one verse. Let's have a look again, 1:11. Formerly he was useless to you. Formerly. Everyone say formerly. Say it again. Are you attached to a formerly? Are you so attached to a formerly? A mindset, an opinion, a perspective. Some of you know my personal story. I didn't get married till my early 40s. But for the 8 years prior to that, I was self-imposed, married to Jesus. I was not interested in men. True story. Because of hurt. Because of disappointment. And I used to have, judgments, right? Judgments. All men are. And I used to say all the good ones were taken. Yeah. Who's preaching this message? You or me? You're preempting the punchline. But that was, Exactly. And there came a time for me to actually move on to receive what God had for me. I had to get unstuck from a formerly. I had to, and that took courage because I'd been hurt so many times before. And there was no guarantee I wasn't going to get hurt again. There was no guarantee it was going to be, not going to be a repeat of previous disasters. And me getting detached from my formerly required humility. Maybe I'm wrong. So that's one of the most powerful sentences you can ever say in your life. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. You know, deception is an interesting thing because you never know when you're deceived. That's the point of deception. Like, you don't know you're deceived. That's why we need each other. That's the importance of community. Because we have the mind of Christ. We, not just me. We. And when someone calls out your blind spots, like a friend of mine did over 20 years ago, and told me, well, you've made all these judgments against men and you're not even giving them the time of day. If you think you want it, because I thought, yeah, I want to get married, but I thought the heavens would open and Jesus would just drop him out of the heaven into my bed, you know? Honestly, we can be like that about the will of God. Well, if it's God's will, it'll just happen. I don't have to do anything. So I'll just get on and I'll have all the walls up, keep away from me, members of the opposite sex. That was how I lived my life, still thinking, well, if it was the will of God for me to get married, and someone called me out on my judgment, called me out on my fear, called me out on my, like, my faithless behavior. Because every promise of God requires faith. Every promise of God requires faith, and faith necessitates risk. So it was huge for me, but to admit, well, maybe I'm wrong. I said, all the good ones are taken. She said, if that's what you believe, that's your reality. Ooh, tell you what, she slapped me around the, and this was a pastor from another church who I highly respected, so the Lord knew who needed to talk to me to really get my attention. But gee, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong about that person. Maybe I'm wrong about the church. Maybe it was true then, because we all change. I have a pet hate. I have a pet hate. When people judge me based on the Vicky they knew 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 20 years, 30 years ago. Well, I just have a pet hate when people judge my ministry. They, no, because she does this, that and the other. I did 30 years ago. But I've grown. I've transformed. Matured. Some things I said then I probably wouldn't say now. From glory to glory. We have to give people the grace and the space and recognize that they've changed. Now, all I'm seeing is a beanie in the CN. Is this son of CN? Will? Will. I'm literally seeing confidence and a revelation within you of who you are, right? Who you, like identity. Identity's got to start in here. Other people can say who we are and you're this and you're that and the other, like for good or for bad, right? But I see you, it's taking shape. It's taking shape. It takes time. It's a bit like a sculpt, you know, like a carving. The shape emerges over time by what's removed. And I'm just seeing something taking shape in your life, Will. Am I this? Am I that? Who am I? I just see a place in God where you and he, it's going to be like between you and he, it's just something you do with the Lord. But you're going to know. That's who I am. And what's more, that's who I'm not. That's an important part of identity. Because Jesus even said, John 10, He said, the devil comes to steal, kill and destroy. Like, I'm not that. But I've come that you might have life. You're going to know. He's going to give you clarity regarding what do I do next? What do I do now? And there's God's been speaking to you through your heart. You know, I talked about desire. Not all desires within us are evil desires. You're artistic. There's something creative. You're out of the box. I'm seeing a creative problem solver. Solutions. God's going to position you where you can bring creative, uncommon solutions in spaces. Prophetic solutions. God-inspired solutions. It's coming. It's coming in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Urban myths. Anyone ever heard of urban myths? Have you inherited somebody else's perspective? Somebody else's formally? Have you inherited somebody else's formally? My mum has a thing against chiropractors. Calls them quacks. And I had never, ever been to a chiropractor because of what mum said. Back in, when was it, in the late 1990s, I was having terrible pain. My back, my neck, related to a car accident. Terrible. Just bad spasms. I was living on Mesindol. It was bad. We had a chiropractor in our church in Adelaide who said to me one day, Vicky, I'll watch you, the way you move, and I reckon I can help you. And I'm like, I don't do chiropractors. I'd never been to one, never looked into it, never. But then she said the magic words, I'll treat you for free. I mean, okay. I'm prepared to give this quack a go. And honestly, 1 year. Wait, she said it'd probably take a year, and it did, almost to the day. I'm fine. I do not have no chronic pain at all. She totally fixed me. I'm a bit, but tell you what, chiropractors are one thing, but if you've got one with anointed hands and a gift from heaven, I'll have the worship team return, please. Getting unstuck from your formerly. I mean, I had the same thing happen. I had a trip to Port Hedland nearly 30 years ago, one of my first ministry trips. Any people here from Hedland? Anyone be? Hey, there you are. Hello, guys. Yes. Who knows? Sandia, Raj, did I pronounce your name right? There you go. Wave one more time. Actually, yes. Welcome them. You're part of this church family. So Kesty over there, this is a family I was telling about who live in Southern River and go same church. So you need to meet my friend Kesty over there. Now, where was I? Port Hedland. Do you know what? You might appreciate this because you were there. You were actually at the conference that I ministered at last year. Because my first experience wasn't great. 30 years ago, I didn't enjoy Port Hedland. I kind of shook the dust off my feet and said, I don't do Port Hedland. Been there, that's it. And I get an invitation because I, true to my word, I vowed I'd never return, and I didn't until I got an invitation. And I'd met the pastor, the new pastors there. And by the way, it was nothing to do with the pastors. So, you know, that actual experience wasn't to do with the pastor. It was a whole lot of dynamics going on. And I thought, I have a policy. I generally don't say no to C3 churches, no matter where they are, because that's my family. And I'd like the pastor. I'd met her, myself, Pastor Lisa, were on an online course we did, was it last year or year before? Year before, probably. So I said yes. I said yes, I will go. Accepted invitation. And I went with fear and trembling and with quite low expectations, to be fair. But my experience was totally different. I loved it. We had the best time. It was a great conference. But I met so many wonderful people. And this time, you see, the church is in South Hedland. Last time I stayed in South Hedland. This time I stayed in Port Hedland. And it makes a big difference, can I say. And they gave me a hire car. I drove. I had freedom. I met people. I had a ball. Do you have a Port Hedland in your life? Where maybe you're attached to some painful memory. And you have said, I will never. Actually, there's a couple there. I'm assuming you're a couple. You're nice, close and cozy. You're both in blue, second row from the back. What are your names? Carl and Christina. I see there's a Port Hedland. There's been a Port Hedland. Something went down, left a really sour taste in your mouth. And you've put it down to experience and, oh, well, you know, it's not like it's been a huge thing. You thought, oh, okay, it's like there's this demarcation line. We just won't do that again. What if the plan of the Lord is that useless then, but useful now? Unprofitable then, profitable now. Not exactly how it was, but there is an essence of an experience, and it's actually cut off a whole lot of other experiences to you, because it was like, well, that didn't work. That didn't work, or whatever the case might be, it's something God is going to cause you to revisit. And I see you with smiles on your face. Smiles on you. God is going to redeem a very, very painful experience of the past. Literally restore what was stolen, especially internally. Christina and Carl. Especially for you, Carl, it changed your inner landscape. It's like it was quite traumatic and your faith got a big knock. So you've thought differently since. It shaped your believing, actually. Shaped. But I see God is going to, he's going to revisit. He's going to heal. He's going to redeem. He's going to redeem. He's going to redeem. What's that scripture about restoring? What, the locust, the canker worm, the years? You know that one. So I pray blessing over you both. Blessing, and I see great courage coming upon you as you make this shift to look through a different lens at that, not past for past sake, but to prepare you for your next, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, give the Lord a hand. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know, the story of Onesimus is the story of someone who actually had changed. I'm not saying, let's be naive. Someone hasn't changed, they haven't changed. Okay? I'm saying, oh, Vicky said, give them another go. Not if they haven't changed. Just always has to be a disclaimer. I know you can't cover every point in half an hour, but let's just close our eyes for a moment. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Think again. Think again. You know, maybe you're here today and you actually have to think again about God. You have to think again about Jesus. You have to think again about church. Have a sense that there's somebody here today and your experience has been mixed. Your experience of Christians, your experience of the Lord has been mixed. And some days you're in, some days you're out. You're like, I don't know, you know, I don't know what to believe. And so in this moment, I want you to consider your spiritual condition. I want you to consider your spiritual condition. What's your relationship with the Lord like right now? Maybe that's where you need to think again. To think again. To trust again. There's someone here and you're fine with God, but you have a problem with his people. And the Lord's saying, think again. Think again. If that's you today, and the call of the Lord is to think again about your relationship with him. Think again about your relationship with others. I'd love you to indicate. I'd love you to indicate. Just by showing your hand, just by raising your hand. Say, Vicky, that's me. I want to, God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you, sweetheart. God bless you, mate. Anybody else? You say, yeah, it's like I hear the Lord bringing alignment. He's bringing, just like I talked about the chiropractor, sometimes we need a bit of spiritual chiropractic. And we can be out of whack and it's causing pain without us even realizing. So just one last time before we move on. Say, yep, that's me. I'm going to pray. Just pray a prayer. Lead you in a prayer right now. Those of you who are coming to the Lord for the first time or for another time, I'd love you to say, yep, that's me. That's me. I've got to get right with God. I want to surrender my life to him. Live life his way, not my way. Get him out of the boot of the car, the back seat. Put him back in the driver's seat. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Those of you who raised your hand, just raise it one more time. Just give me a wave. Just give me a wave. Yeah. Yep. A couple over there. Yeah. God bless you, sweetheart. So we're going to all pray this prayer together. Support those who've raised their hand. And you may very well have prayed a prayer like this before, but what matters is what's happening in your heart right now. And if you haven't prayed that prayer before, it's so you know on this day in March 2025 that you actually surrendered, gave your life to Jesus. You became born again. Something supernatural happens in that moment. So are we ready, church? Pray out loud together right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he died for me to give me life. And right now, I receive you, Jesus, as my Lord and Savior. I'm sorry I've ignored you and lived life my own way, but today I choose your way. I thank you that you love me and you have a great plan for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you. You know what I feel to do? That song that we were singing, bringing it all to the altar. Is that what you've got? That's. I'd love us to stand together right now. I believe the Lord wants to bring us to that point of being willing. Maybe today the penny's dropped. There's been an aha moment. Like, yeah, I need to shift my perspective. I've got to be willing to think differently. Yeah, it's not like what it used to be. Maybe it's very obvious to you about where the shift is, but maybe at the moment you can't think of anything where it needs to be 180 degree change of opinion. But he wants us to be willing. He wants us to be willing to let go of our prejudices. He wants us to be willing to let go of our preconceived ideas. He wants us to be willing to let go of our judgments, just to be willing to receive whatever it is he wants to say to us this year in order to bring the change, the transformation that he's destined, that he's already declared through Pastor Lisa. This year of transformation has got to start with us thinking differently. If our mind's not renewed, nothing changes. Some of you are going to get a rude awakening this year. It was a rude awakening to me when I discovered not all men were beep, beep. You hear me? But it changed my life. I was married within 12 months. I wonder what is being held back, waiting for us to think again. And so, as Taylor and the worship team lead us back into this song, I'm going to encourage you, and I'm going to do what she did, to bring your willingness to the altar. Lord, I'm willing to think again. Or if God's shown you something, actually, there's a fellow in black t-shirt looking at me right now. What's your name? Nathan, is it your missus there? What's your name? Sharina. Nathan and Sharina. Look, Nathan, you lit up to me that there is some big steps forward. Big steps forward for you. You have not come to the end of the line. This is not as good as it gets. You have not exhausted all your potential and the God's plans for your life. So I see a new door opening up for you. I see healing in your lives. But it's going to require some courage, bravery. He can give us that. He can give us that. So I see courage coming on you both. And God painting a new picture. It's like I see a blank canvas. Actually, before, I just see like it's been paint splattered on it, just like thrown on it. But now I'm seeing a new canvas, a new start, and an artist at work creating a beautiful, beautiful picture. I pray for hope. I pray for encouragement. God loves you. He's called you out today not to embarrass you, but to let you know he's not forgotten. He's not passed you by. He's heard your cries. He's on your side. He's on your side. If God be for you, who can be against you? In Jesus' name, amen. Who's got something the Lord's shown them just to bring to the altar? I've got to think again about that. I've got to think again. Give me a wave. If already you've got to, yeah, I've got to think again. Well, the rest of you, it's coming. It's coming. But we've got to be willing. If you think, no, I haven't got anything, you're the one who really needs. No, I got nothing. Oh! Okay, so let's sing. Now I invite you, either where you are, step out, come to the altar, but to God, I'm willing to think again. What was useless then is useful now. What was unprofitable then is profitable now. And can I just say, this is a PS, Philemon actually did that. He actually took Onesimus back, and not as a slave, but as a brother. Yeah, that's a whole nother message. Amen. Come on, let's lift our hands. Let's worship the Lord.